Welcome to Photography Adventures Podcast. You like photography? I do too. And this podcast is all about photography. No technical information here, but hey, there's no right or wrong, yes or no answers. It's all about what you feel. So pull up a chair, grab some coffee or your favorite drink, and let's chat about photography. Welcome to Photography Adventures. I'm Don D. Hester.
And I'm Renee L. Ferguson.
Today is episode 39 of season 3, Having a Portfolio. Just like we talked about the importance of having a website in episode 34 of season 2, a portfolio is just as important. There are so many ways to have a portfolio, and today Renee and I will talk about some ways. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
Doing good. As everybody knows, this is May of 2022, our third anniversary. Yay! We made it another year.
Yay!
I mean, who would have thought, like we said before, something that out of the blue, that see if I can do this. I think I could do this. Let me try this. Then you jumped on board with me, and here we are.
Yeah.
Season number 3.
We're making it.
And we always want to thank you for listening to us, supporting us, and going back and listening to season 1 and season 2. Because they're always there in our archives, and we just appreciate everybody who's listening to us and continue to listen and spread the word that Photography Adventures is here. We're a lot of fun. We just share what we know about photography and everything else in between.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to talk about having a portfolio. So one thing, it doesn't have to be a digital portfolio. I know in this day and age, you know, everything on tablet, your phone, computers, whatever. But, you know, a lot of times people like paper. I like paper.
Right.
I like paper because I know that when I print it out, what I see, I know it's there. And if you have a monitor, your monitor going to be different than mine, and you're not going to see that. So if I can share a print, and you can see exactly, like, skin tones are different. You can see the different colors of the dresses or the outfits, and like landscapes, you know, the mountains and the water. You can see all of that on print. So it doesn't have to be a digital portfolio.
Sure doesn't. I know that there are different textures of paper, and that can enhance your, depending on what paper you use, can enhance your photo or your image.
And you have more control, like you said, you have more control of when it matte or semi-gloss or what are canvas. It's so many out there now. It's just unbelievable. When you buy a printer, go ahead.
Certain papers make your colors pop a lot better, too.
Yeah, and certain paper make me look good. You know how you mess up something, you're like, and you get the right paper and it kind of like help you along. You're like, whoo, thank you. And another thing, and it don't have to be the traditional portfolio book. A lot of people like the tablets and phones. But, you know, sometimes you can't send those over to somebody and hopefully they look at it or see it the way you see it.
You know? It's true. And then some, I guess, some people, well, I'll just say this. I've looked at a lot of images on digital, but it's something when you have a book in your hand and you can actually see all those images, you know, just pop right there. I mean, I guess girls are tangible people. They like things in their hands.
Right. And then when they see the type of paper that they're going to get and they get to feel that.
Right.
Then they like, oh man, I do have to mat and frame this because I can't just get this beautiful image on this beautiful paper and just let it lay there.
Well, the framer that I use, traditionally you see that semi-gloss or that satin look, but I have this matte paper that I've gotten printed, and when I show the framer, she says that's one of the things she kept doing, because they're those images that I allowed her to see, they were just example images mm-hmm. that I had printed so that I could show people my work. And she kept touching the paper. She says, I love the feel of this paper. Mm-hmm. But she says, but the image looks so much richer this way because mm-hmm. it didn't have a glare on it. Mm-hmm. So it made a difference to her.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. And like you said, you take it and have somebody that you don't even know, not even your client, mm-hmm. and they see right. that and they just like that. And they mm-hmm. kind of like uplift them a little bit more to really go above beyond to make sure you get mm-hmm. what you need to right. make that print pop out more. Mm-hmm. So very cool. Very cool. And let me see here. You can have more than one portfolio.
True.
I mean, all depending on your situation, whether it's a presentation or a job interview. There's no rule set, oh, you can only have one, because I think each mm-hmm. thing is going to be different. So why not have a variety portfolios, you know, for that certain occasion.
Right. I think it's based off the job mm-hmm. you have. Then you can present certain, you know, certain books, because some things don't apply. Say, for instance, like you as a landscape photographer, a portrait, somebody that needs portraits really not gonna sell with that or mm-hmm. look at that. But with you know, different types of portraits. Say, for instance, you're a branding type. You don't want to send a bunch of family portraits to a person that's looking for branding work
right.
or something like that. So you can have one, I guess, like a headshot book. Mm-hmm. Or you can have, I guess, lifestyle mm-hmm. portrait work. And then maybe something more commercial or something, maybe fashion or beauty. So all of those, depending on what work you have, would work better with, you know, whatever client you have, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then, two, with that being said, different websites.
Yes.
So if you have your portfolio on, like, say, for instance, you got fashion and beauty, put that fashion and beauty on that. But you can have different websites and have different portfolios to go with each one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you specialize in different types of photography.
Right, right. Now, I know I had an older website, and I did have a portfolio, and I can say that I don't have one now on my website. One mm-hmm. thing I like about our podcast, not that, you know, I'm trying to push it to anybody, because we're that good, but but one thing I like about our podcast is a lot of things that we talk about, and I'm like, I had that, and I got mm-hmm. rid of it, but right. you know what? I really need to go back and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do need to build I need to have a portfolio only on my website. I have a lot of different folders for different things, mm-hmm. but not a portfolio. And I guess what I'm going to ask you, maybe you can help me out. Is there a limit that I should put on a portfolio in a website? I mean, what do you think?
I did some research on that, actually. And on some websites, they say have 8 to 12. Some say 10 to 20. And then some, I've even talked to some people, and they say have 24 or less. I guess it's a minimum of 8. And some of them say a max of 10. But I would stick between that 10 to 20 range. Because I don't think for people to get a gist of your work, I don't think it has to be a lot. I just think there has to be powerful images mm-hmm. of your best work, you mm-hmm. know, put up there, that they can, each image, you get the same reaction, even though they're different, you can get the same reaction. And it does, I don't think it has to be a lot, because after a while people get, you know, saturated.
Right.
But I would stick between that, I say the 8 to 12 or the 10 to 20 range.
Okay.
But I'll do some more research on that, and I'll find out.
Well, I'm going to write that down, because I need to start working on that. And now I know mm-hmm. where I need to start at and everything. Okay.
But one thing that I saw that was consistent, it said that you have your strongest images there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
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 Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have your favorite ones, but you gotta, you know, those that just catch your attention and and have a hard time leaving that image till you get to the next one. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, we just had a moment of, we just froze. That's all that was, everybody. It was just, it's one of these days.
Yep.
Okay. And again, yeah, I have to sit down and, like you said, find my strongest images and set up a portfolio on my website. Now, right. I do have a print portfolio. The last time, well, when I was a vendor, and I had a lot of my landscapes and everything around so you can purchase, but I had a portfolio there also. And my main thing was make sure I had that nice flow. I mean, if I started off with black and white, I didn't go black and white, color black and white, because I didn't want the eyes go crazy. So I started with black, white, flow, and slowly, and try to, you know, have a theme that way to help the people eyes. But I think I also, even though I didn't have any portraits around, I did sprinkle it a little bit with some portraits inside of the portfolio. Actually, I take that back. I think what I did, that one particular time, now I think about it, it was all portraits, more all environmental portraits, because I had around my table to purchase all my landscapes.
Okay.
But then I had the black and whites and then the colors, or vice versa. So you, like I said, your eyes didn't have to adjust one page color and one, you know, black and white, things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it is important to have a certain order. Now, even on the website portfolio, unless if you open up your website, you know, sometimes the randoms change. You know, I don't know if all of them are set up that way. All the websites, I don't know. But if it is, then you just hope and pray that the way you got it set up, it goes that flow every time you open up that page.
And I sat with an individual that looked at my portfolio before, and it was like, you need your images to build. So you've got the strongest, you've got all strong images, but maybe certain strong images aren't as strong as others, and you build on that and give them like a suspense kind of like. To get to the end and just leave, I guess, the strongest image that you have, that would be the last one that you look at, so that that leaves a lasting impression on your mind.
Now,
that's the...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Now, can you start with a strong and then you kind of mellow through a little bit and then you end with a strong?
Yeah.
Okay. Just in case nobody, you know, if somebody out there listening, so you can do both ways and everything, but... I agree with you. When they open it up, you want to hit them hard. And they be like, wow. You know, you got to get them quick. Because they, you know, everybody minds. We don't last long.
Because if you've got somebody, you know, that has got a busy schedule, you want some of your, you know, you want them to see, if they don't look through the whole book, then you want them to see, these are powerful images. And then if they don't look through the rest of it, you know, that's, you know, they've got to adjust to what you can do.
Right. It's like you reading something, that first paragraph, if it's not strong, I'm not going to read the rest.
No.
You know?
I've got a lot of books that sit on a shelf because of that. I mean, sometimes for the first chapters, and then I had to think about it, you know, some chapters are building chapters. So they have to set the setting, you know, get this, get you flowing to get you some history or whatever you're reading. And then some of the books after those first two, three chapters, then it's like really, really good. I had to go back and visit some books like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I always told myself, I start a book, I'm going to finish the book. I'm going to finish the book. So if I start it, regardless how slow it is, I'm like, I started it, I'm going to finish it.
Right.
So, because that helps me, like, if I got to read something I don't want to read, then I know I can push through it. So I always kept that in mind, do it that way. So these little things, like, you know.
Now, one of the ideas, to bring us back to portfolio, one of the ideas that I've seen is you have your big book that's your major portfolio book. But maybe somebody doesn't have time to look at your portfolio right now, you can buy a mini book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then you, I know it might cost a bit, but then you can hand them and they can take that with you. And if on their, when they have time, then they can go back and say, oh, well, let me look at this little book. And mm-hmm. then you've got a lasting, it's almost like a business card, but it's a portfolio card, so to speak. And right. it's a small book. It's right. like a 4x4, like a mini kid's book. You know, those hard books that you see. It's something that you can put in a bag or something small that you can hand out. And then you say, well, this is what my work looks like. Especially if somebody doesn't have time to go back and look at your website.
And also that it's just like a zine. You know, you can make them any way you want, set them up the way you want. And like you said, mm-hmm. hand them out.
Right.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. They can be a little pricey, but it's worth it.
Right. Especially, I mean, if you want that client work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. I know doing a lot of reading, research on zines, you know, you can select the different types of papers. And like we said, paper makes a difference.
It does.
Paper makes a difference.
It does. When that framer looked at it, and she just kept touching, because it almost had like a velvety feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
So she just kept touching that image, and she was like, I haven't seen paper like this. Most people bring me the traditional look, you know, to, I guess, your traditional glossy photos or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, it doesn't leave a glare. I said, no, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But it had like a, almost like a velvety feel to it.
Okay. Okay. And you know, a lot of time people don't know, man, how much paper is out there.
It's a lot.
And then each company probably have their own.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so much. You just have to, like you said, take some time, do some research
mm-hmm.
and see what they have. And then you look at your work. And say, okay, this is how I want my work to be presented. And just the paper is going to make it pop for you.
Now, what I've started to do on, I've got, you know, certain labs. And they, if you look at some of the labs, they have, a lot of them do.
Mm-hmm.
They have sample packs of their sample paper
mm-hmm.
and what it looks like printed. So you can look at your work and see how you, but then go through and find that certain paper and find out what you want your work to look like on that paper. And then, you know, test it out. You mm-hmm. know, see how your work looks on that paper. And then just, you know, make yourself specialized to whatever, you know.
Right.
The one thing I've started to do is go through different labs and then start ordering sample pieces on different types of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that some work looks a whole lot better on certain things, whereas it'll look better, even better on different paper that I didn't even think.
Right. Just like we talked about before we start recording,
mm-hmm.
you know, cause I use Photo Shelter and they have different companies. So I selected one. And like you said, you know, you send them an image and they sent you prints back. I think they're like 8x10s, all the different papers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you can see and, you know what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you got to know what you're looking for. If you're looking for a mm-hmm. lot of dark colors and you know there's supposed to be separations of the browns and the blacks, you want to see that. When it comes to portraits, those skin mm-hmm. colors matter, their clothing, right. all that matters. So, mm-hmm. you know, they'll give you that. And you just got to look and just like, man, just check it out.
Because mm-hmm. sometimes you might have, like, I use a lot of black background sometimes, and you might want that black to be black.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, you know, and then for black and whites too, you mm-hmm. don't want it may a bluish tint to it. You might just want that black to it.
Right. And the question is, do they know what they're doing? And if not, right. you just go to another one. Because mm-hmm. there's many out there.
I'm in the process of doing a portfolio build now. And with that, I started using different labs. So I had one consistent lab that I used all the time. But then I was like, well, maybe I should try this and this and this mm-hmm. on different labs because different people have, you know, different specializations. So I started using some of these other types of labs. And I can tell you, I like some of the other paper that I'm seeing right. in some of the other labs.
Right. And you know, each year or each month, they get better.
Yes.
And then sometimes mm-hmm. the lab you've been using all along is starting to slip. And you're like, okay, mm-hmm. it's time to me because I need that extra. Mm-hmm. And you just start researching.
I became complacent because I was like, this is quick, this is easy, I'll use this one. And I used like three different ones at first, but then I was like, well, let me see what other labs are out there. And there's some that I really, really like.
Cool. And another thing is, make sure whatever images you decide for your portfolio, make sure it represents you. Mm-hmm. And that's what you really, really want.
Right.
You know, it got to be what you want. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. So what types of labs do you use? I know you print your work a lot on your own device, but what labs do you use?
Through Photo Shelter, I use White House Custom Color.
Okay.
I sent them like different images. Like I said, it came back with the different papers. And like I was telling you before we start recording, and I have a refurbished Epson. I'm an Epson person through and through. And I said, well, let me see what my little Epson can do. And it did just as good. I'm like, oh. And that's when I really start printing my own work. When I thought, refurbished, it's not going to be able to do anything as good as these labs. And it did. And another thing, what I do is I download the profiles of the papers.
What types of papers do you use?
Well, I use all Epsons.
Okay.
But I normally use the Luster.
Okay.
But if you got Luster, matte, wherever papers they have a profile for them.
Okay.
So you download the profiles and then you plug that in as you're setting up to make your print.
Okay.
Yeah. So it really works. If they got profiles, it's just like a lot of online labs that you use. They say download their profiles, you know, because they're going to read by what they see over there, not by what you see over here. So you got to be on the same page. If you're not on the same page, don't be mad at them because they told you got to download their ICs or it ain't going to work. Yeah.
They're a really good lab. I've used them quite a bit. I use those and... I use them and I use Miller's Lab and Bay Photo for a long time. The three or four that I've just added another one, but the three that I've been using lately is Graphy Studio, InPhoto, and Fineo.
Oh, okay.
And then I just signed up for one called Koi Lab.
Okay. Now, would you use that for everything or just certain type of maybe family portraits versus a single portrait, a studio? Because I know outdoors, indoors, they do make a difference.
It does. But most of my work now, I haven't really presented it out, but I'm just working on it now, is I've gone towards more so of a fine art look.
Okay.
And for that, I've gotten prints from Graphy Studio and Photo.
Okay.
And then there's certain products that I don't see in other labs that I've been using for Graphy Studio, InPhoto, and Fineo. Mm-hmm. So I use like folio boxes now. And with me using those three companies have what I'm looking for. So I haven't looked through a whole lot of the other ones, but I do... There are certain things that I purchased from each one, and that's what I've been going through.
Okay.
Graphy Studio, InPhoto, and Fineo, they have these folio boxes that I like, and they have different ones. So some have like a wooden look, some just have like a leather, and then some I have acrylic print on top. So that's why I've switched to some of those other labs now, because they offer different products than what I was used to.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Research matters. Research
right. It does.
Matters.
It does.
It's just so. I mean, back in the day, it was like maybe one or two labs out there, and that was it. Everybody sent their stuff to it, you know. But now it's like, you got to find the time and make the time to sit down, do your research. Like you said, reach out to them, and they'll send you samples. If you send them samples of your work, they will send you samples back on the different types of paper, and you know, because they want your job.
But they also have swatches though that you can get, and then they've already got, you know, I guess test product.
Right. But still,
the
nothing
images
like,
that they've ever print.
Yeah, but still ain't nothing like seeing your own.
Right.
I don't care what kind of samples they got.
Mm-hmm.
Until you send me a sample back with my own on there, then right. I, you know, that's different.
Now he's talking.
Yeah, because you know what you're looking mm-hmm. for. You're like, right. oh, they just sample, but your mm-hmm. own? Oh, yeah, you know exactly what you're looking for.
Right.
Okay, cool. All right. What else we got today on this?
Oh, I wanted to say, don't always depend on. You can have your portfolio, and maybe you might use an Instagram, or maybe you might use, I don't recommend it, putting your works per se on social media, but if that's where you are, then put your work on social media to give it an example of what you have. But I wouldn't always depend on social media because it's always changing. But if possible, put your work on your website. Even if you don't have a printed version of your portfolio, put your portfolio on your website so people can see what you do and how you represent it.
Because everybody's not on social media.
No, they're not.
Everybody and a lot of people love the old school websites.
Mm-hmm. One central place to put your things, put your work so that people can see. And like I've been told before, don't have it all over the place. You know, they've got to see what you are, what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, change it. And then as you get new images, give them a fresh look on your portfolio. You might have taken, you know, you might like those images, but a lot of times what I've seen, and I've shown people some of my images, I may have a favorite, but consistently, sometimes, even though one is might be my favorite, another person might look at your work and they'll pick out something completely different. And then one of the things I recommend is have it looked at professionally. Have somebody actually that's in the industry on a high level look at your work and critique your work
mm-hmm.
and make sure that you, because personally, you're always going to be, you know, you might think this image is one of the most powerful images you have. But if you look at somebody that's in the industry, they might say, no, I don't think that one is. This one over here is. And sometimes you just have to, you know, suck up your feelings and go with it. Because at that point, you want the work from the industry,
mm-hmm.
but not so much. I mean, you might be biased or, you know, personalized to it. But if they see that this image is not going to work in the industry that you're trying to get to or the client work you're trying to get to, then your feelings go out the window, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, you have to go with what you know will work. But I do recommend someone, you know, that's on a professional level, look at your work and critique it and then have them place, you know, talk to you about your stronger images and maybe some of the images you think that are strong, pull them out of your portfolio and get a different eye on it.
Yeah, as long as they can give you a reason why they think this is stronger.
Right.
And then, like you
mm-hmm.
say, you can go back and you can look at it differently. Because a lot of times mm-hmm. we look at an image over and over and over.
Right.
Our eyes get kind of attached to it. And mm-hmm. we got to get those fresh eyes.
Right.
As they say, get those fresh mm-hmm. eyes in there and check it out and everything.
Mm-hmm. But don't let your feelings get hurt just because they say, well, that's not this.
Right.
Because.
And in this industry, it's like, you know, you got to suck it up. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I used to work, my supervisor said, nah, that ain't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go back, mm-hmm. you know. Or he might see something different and he'll go back with me.
Right.
And then we try to work it out together.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes the eye can't, the film can't see what the eye can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then with, the, you know, the age of film and everything. So, yeah, if you can't handle it, you know, and then it's everybody's opinion.
Right.
My thing is, at the end of the day, if you like it,
mm-hmm.
don't throw it away just because
no.
of one person, you know. Just mm-hmm. maybe it just don't fit that. Maybe
right.
it'll fit something else.
It might.
Yeah, maybe
mm-hmm.
it fits something else. So don't throw it away. Just like she said, like Renee said, just get another opinion who's been in the business long enough
mm-hmm.
and take it from there.
Yep. Have people critique your work and then let you see, you know, what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, mm-hmm. per se. I mean, I understand that you can break the rules, but you have to know them first. So mm-hmm. my advice, put your work out there and get a critique. It took me a while to do it. I mean, it took me a while to enter my work into competitions, but I started and I've been doing it now. I don't post it per se out there yet, but I have been submitting my work to get critiqued and find out what professionals on a higher level can tell me about what I need to correct and what I need to look for and in my future, you know, as I take portraits, you know, down the road.
Mm-hmm. So you said competitions.
Yes, I've been submitting my work. Not so much a competition, but I've submitted it to get judged.
Okay.
I've been lately submitting my work to get judged, and I see what, and then I see what they, you know, well, they'll tell me, well, you need to fix this or to fix that or fix this. And then I know when I go take my next shoot, what I have to look for. And then I'm more conscious of what things I need to have done. Mm-hmm. Instead of, okay, I'm just going to take this. And that's something that I didn't look at before. Say, for instance, you know, where you crop, or I looked at it, but then sometimes, you know, with movement, I may have cropped off the tips of their fingers or something. It might have a good image, you know, to look at, but these technical things, that's what I'm looking for now. Mm-hmm. I want to know all these little technical things so that when I submit my next work to get judged, then I can get a higher rating. So that's what I'm looking at now. And I've been doing that. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to get to that point, but because I was so afraid of what someone would say about my work. Now I don't, you know what, if you could make me better, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I haven't posted a lot of things on social media, but that's not to say that I'm not working on my work. Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at, okay, how can I get myself to a higher level? And then the next time I present my work, then it'll look a lot better than what I have been doing. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. Okay. And it's neat to see what other people see about your work and where you can correct your work. Mm-hmm. So okay. I'm like, okay. But I don't let my feelings get in there because someone says, oh, this needs to be stronger or this needs to be work. No, you're just making me better. That's just the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. So, man, good information on building a portfolio.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
And you gotta have a portfolio. Digital, the old traditional. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you know, maybe create small books to give to clients because right. They don't have time, or, you know, old school, mail them out to clients.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. The mail still works.
And if you don't do a portfolio book per se, they have what they call those accordion things that you can pull out and you have different images on there.
Oh, like maybe a brochure?
That might work too.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, it's so much out there you can do, but you got to put a little bit of time into it.
Mm-hmm. Or send an image out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a little bit of money. And like you said, mm-hmm. once you get your printer, and you love the paper or how they print, then that's half of the battle right there.
Right.
Because you like...
No, okay. I haven't tried all that yet.
What's that?
I don't have a printer that print my own work yet, so I haven't done that yet. Oh, but I may in the future.
Well, like I said, mine is over 10 years old, and it was refurbished, but mm-hmm. it still kicks. And during the pandemic, because the pandemic's still here, right. I wanted to look into a printer, but they were all sold out because everybody at home bought one. And I'm like,
have you checked to see whether or not they're back in stock yet? You know,
I think it says it's not meant to be. You got other things you need to do that's more important. And I'm like, right. Yeah, you got a point there. Don't be buying a lot of big stuff when you're trying to give it a lot of big stuff. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, at the time, remember we were looking and right. they were all mm-hmm. sold out. And I know they're happy, but I wasn't happy. But you know, my little printer, it still hangs in there and everything, so it's still a lot of fun.
Cool.
It's just that a lot of new papers that Epson had, like that new acrylic look, I can't use it on it. And I would love to be able to use that.
Right.
Just to see what one of those would look like. But I guess I'll be okay. All right.
You'll get it.
I don't know. But that's okay too.
So. Right.
So, you know, we hope that, you know, you take this information and just think about it. And if you don't have a portfolio, think about getting one.
And seriously, make sure, think about getting one.
And make sure on your website have a portfolio.
Mm-hmm. So people can see your work.
Just a folder. It can just say portfolio. That's all you got to do. And just drop in. What? How many you say?
I say 10 to 20. No more than that. 10 to 20
of your best work that you feel that is your best work.
But no less than 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just drop it in there and, you know, see what happens.
Right. You never know. People might contact you.
Yep. Because like they always say, you never know who's looking.
Right.
You never know. You never know who's looking. So, okay, I think this went well for the first one of 2022.
Right. Whew. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
I'm still like, oh my goodness. So, thanks again for stopping by, listening to us. Like I said, I hope you learned something about portfolios. And, you know, if you want to reach out to us, please, you know, we're on Instagram. We got our own page on Instagram, so please go there and visit and check us out from time to time. So thanks a lot.
And y'all come back now.
Thank you for listening in to Photography Adventures. You can follow on iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, Radio Public, Breaker, and Google Podcasts. Make sure you subscribe to iTunes and Spotify. Until next time, peace.